Fishing Internet Radio, your source for learning more about fly fishing in cold water, warm water, and salt water. Hello, I'm Roger Maves, your host for tonight's show. On this broadcast, we'll be featuring Rod Hamilton, and he'll be answering your most important question on do-it-yourself fly fishing vacations. This show will be 90 minutes in length, and we are broadcasting live over the Internet. If you'd like to ask Rod a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use that Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. And while you're there, make sure you sign up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Just fill in your name and email address in the form on our homepage, and we'll keep you informed. This broadcast is being recorded and will be available for playback on our website within about 48 hours after the show ends. So if you have to leave early, you can return to our website at your convenience and listen to the broadcast at any time. The content of this broadcast is copyrighted and is the property of the Knowledge Group, Inc., doing business as Ask About Fly Fishing. Recordings or transcriptions of this program cannot be distributed or sold in any form. When we return, we'll be talking with Rod Hamilton about do-it-yourself fly fishing vacation. Looking for that shot at a permit? Whipray Key Fishing Lodge in Belize is where you want to be. When you stay at Whipray Key Fishing Lodge, you're on a private island and are only minutes away from some of the finest permit fishing in Belize. Whipray Key is just a 30-minute boat ride from Placentia. Once you're there, you'll be fishing Permit Alley, one of Belize's best fisheries, and you won't be taking long boat rides to get started. You'll fish with world-class guides like Daniel Cabral, whose family has fished the area for over 30 years. Want to switch it up and fish for tarpon and bonefish and make it a grand slam? They can make it happen at Whipray Key Fishing Lodge. Book your next adventure now. Visit whipraykeyfishinglodge.com. The Whipray, C-A-Y-E, fishinglodge.com. Before we introduce Rod, I'd like to let you know about the great gifts we have to give away tonight. On our drawing tonight, we'll be giving away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to the Fly Fishing and Tying Journal. Now, you have two chances to win tonight in our drawing. If you haven't registered yet for the drawing, you can do so now. Just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and look for the link under Rod's section that says, click here to register for our drawing. Click on that link and fill out the form, and we'll announce the winners at the end of the show. We'll also be giving away a copy of Rod's book, Fly Fishing the Yucatan, courtesy of Lions Press. And here's how you can win. You must be the first person to answer the question we ask at the end of the show. Might be two questions. Sometimes I do two-part questions, make it a little harder. And the questions be about something that Rod and I talk about during the show. And you just submit your answer along with your name and your location in the text box on our homepage. And the first person that gets it right and submits it first will win Rod's book, Fly Fishing the Yucatan. So our guest tonight is Rod Hamilton. Rod has been an avid fly fisher for over 50 years, chasing salmon, trout, and steelhead from his home in British Columbia, Canada. He's a well-known author, having written books, Do-It-Yourself, Bone Fishing, and the recently published Fly Fishing the Yucatan, in addition to being a contributor to various industry magazines and online periodicals. Much of his time is now spent building and operating the website, DIYfishing.com. It's a culmination of a seven-year journey sharing his passion with like-minded anglers. The new site is the first of its kind where an angler can obtain information they want on a local destination, talk directly to hundreds of local experts, and then book vacation rental accommodation at each of the fly fishing destinations. The website, along with the newly introduced DIY fishing app, are the ultimate tools for the world's traveling anglers wanting to know where to fish and where to stay. Well, Rod, welcome to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio.
Hi, Roger. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. Glad to have you. Well, folks, we've been getting some thunderstorms here where I'm at. If you do get disconnected, Rod and I will continue as long as we have phone service here. And if you go, when you're on that box for the live show, you might jot down the phone numbers there or look up, if you're international, look up an international number. In case you get disconnected on the Internet, you can always call in on that phone line. Worst case scenario, we'll get the show recorded for you, and you can always listen to it once it's back up on the site. So just fair warning tonight because of weather issues around my location here in Colorado. So that out of the way, Rod, let's talk about planning a trip.
Sure.
So
first of all, Roger, you should know that's why you live in British Columbia. We don't have those storms.
You don't have those storms.
No.
It just rains all the time.
It just rains, yeah.
Yeah, no, well, it's that's about the worst thing we have here, that and a snowstorm, but no hurricanes, no earthquakes, no tornadoes.
No, we both live in paradise, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, but there are other paradises to go visit, right?
There are indeed.
Yeah, so how did you get started with, your website's all about do-it-yourself fishing. That's what our show's about tonight, which I help people do that kind of fishing. How did you get started with that? What prompted you to start gathering up all this information?
Well, as you said, I've been a fly fisher for a long time, and it really started with the cold winters in British Columbia. So my wife and I started traveling to the tropics. To get away from it, and I, as a keen fisherman or a fly fisherman, I decided I wanted to explore the saltwater fishing, and first started out in the Keys, and then that was about 20 years ago was my first trip, and then I got hooked on saltwater fly fishing and sort of took off from there. At that time, really the only information I could get in the places that you went were full-service lodges. So I did all of the ones that most people know about and enjoyed them immensely and learned a lot from the guides. And I just decided, I just felt like I wanted to do something else other than having to be, at the dock at 9 and back at 4 and all of that. And I was more of an adventure kind of a explorer kind of a guy. So I thought I would start to try, some of that saltwater angling on my own. And there really wasn't much information available at all. In fact, I was extremely limited. But that was great. That's what I wanted to do. So I started to go to some of the out islands in the Bahamas and just walk and wade in my own and see what I could catch. I will say this, that when I was fishing with a guide, I might catch I was getting pretty good at it, so I might catch 10 or 12 or 15 in a day. I'm talking bonefish here. And then when I started doing it on my own, I was catching one or two and couldn't quite figure out what the difference was other than I had a lot to learn. So that's what I did.
Yeah. That was, I think, my first experience without a guide was in the Keys, and I started wading off one of the Keys and realized how how challenging and daunting the salt is without good information.
Good information, the guide's eyes, all those things that are so important to
and the tides
and the fishing tides,
yeah, time of day, and all that.
Yeah. Lots to learn.
Well, good. We're thinking, and we did get some questions about kind of some local stuff in the U.S. But I think your site is more focused on, outside the U.S. and Canada destinations. Is that correct?
The site DIY Fishing is a culmination of 7 years of sort of webs and blogs and things. So, but originally DIY Bone Fishing was my original site, and it was tropical only. And so that's where I think most people know about me. And now we are DIYfishing.com is worldwide, and we have 200 area specialists that work with me, and so it's expanded beyond the tropics. Me personally, I think I'm probably best known for tropical fly fishing.
Okay. Well, we'll leave the questions open to these different locations, which may or may not be on your list. And so when you're planning a do-it-yourself trip, what kind of questions should you be asking yourself? As you put the plan together?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll reference it by saying this, that now I get about 100 emails a day from anglers from all around the world, and this is one of the ones that they're sort of asking in a roundabout way, because it's things like you have to be Oh, you have to ask yourself, how good are you? How good a fisherman are you? How, and that's gonna help you decide where you should go. Lots of fishermen think, more experienced and maybe better than they are. So, a trout fisherman from BC going down to the tropics has to deal with the wind. So, there's some things about where you go and your own experiences that are important. So when people are asking me, those kinds of questions, so it's if you're traveling by yourself or with a group or with your family, that makes a difference. Are there activities for the family? And that can help make the trip a little bit better. And the other things might be what gear to take. Of course, that's based on the species that you're fishing for. What might be the good flies? And then the good questions are things like, who can I talk to, who's local, what guides are down there, and where can I get the most relevant information for making a successful trip?
Yeah, like you said, the skill level is one thing, and different parts mm-hmm. of the world require more skill than maybe other parts. And depending on the fish, your prey as well,
Yeah.
But are you going after permit, or are you going after, like we were talking before the show, cohos on the beach in D.C.,
right.
So, some of those are just in general a lot easier to catch than others. But then what comes to mind is some areas are probably not ideal for do-it-yourself situations, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there are some places where primarily the fishing grounds are accessed by boat, or the bottom isn't wadeable, something like that.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Or some of these islands in the South Pacific and so forth where, if you got there might not be a place to stay, other
yeah.
than a lodge, right? So.
Yeah. But there's quite a few places like that, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you started thinking about do-it-yourself trips, the idea was
mm-hmm.
maybe not, I'm sure, to save some money, and as you said before, more freedom of what your day might be like. But I think that's what most people think about is, budget when they're doing it do-it-yourself, Geez, if I can save, $600 a day, that's a lot of money over a period of a week if I'm doing it myself.
Let me talk to you about that. So it's an interesting point, and it's one that I had sort of imagined might be the reason for people to DIY. So when I formed my site and we started to communicate with people, and now we have tens of thousands of subscribers and et cetera, it became an interesting phenomenon of who actually was the DIY angler. And you'd be interested that by far the smallest group are the budget-conscious people. It is a group, but it's by far the smallest group. The group that I thought would be the largest would be people like myself who just felt like they wanted a different experience. They wanted to do it differently and do it on their own. But the largest group, by leaps and bounds, are anglers that travel with families that want to fish on their own for 2 or 3 days out of a week, a couple of afternoons, something like that. So there are certainly places to go if you're budget conscious, but interestingly enough, my experience has been that's the smaller end of the groups for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Hugo in Connecticut asks, he says, do you have any tips for finding good sections of new rivers using Google Maps, forums, local fly shops? He says, I'm thinking of fishing Utah, but hard to know where to start in terms of researching the area. Just looks like Hugo's intent is to try to get off the beaten track is his goal.
Yeah, so that's exactly what we do, and that's what DIY fishing is all about. For me, when I go to a new place, rivers and lakes being something I do all the time, you're trying to find current trip reports, so the internet becomes your best friend, doesn't it? So it's Google Maps, Google Earth, and then the local fly shops, as he's pointed out, trying to find the most relevant information and trying to hook up with somebody who really is an expert on the home waters. I mean, that's really who you're looking for. And so it takes a little bit of work to find those guys because, as we all know, really what you're looking for is somebody that you can call and talk to and say, listen, you know, I'm coming out there. Where should I be concentrating? Can you give me some ideas and hints and ideas and where to go? So that's what I do.
Yeah, one of the suggestions from one of the guests we had on another show was for things in the United States like that, is mm-hmm. The DeLorme maps.
Right, the maps, yeah.
D-E-L-O-R-M-E. Again, D-E-L-O-R-M-E. They, because he said his goal was to get off the beaten track and try to find these little creeks and rivers and so forth that most people wouldn't go to. And mm-hmm. that was the best map for that, for finding the side roads and seeing where creeks were and stuff. So that might be an idea for Hugo as well, just because it's so detailed. Over in,
yeah.
Better than topo maps, basically, you know, for those kind
yeah.
of side roads
yeah.
like that. So, Jim, so you already mentioned, he was asking about tools, too, for discovering a place to get away within a five-hour drive for you know, 2-3-night weekend.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, I think we kind of covered that already.
Well, I will say this. I mean, I am a keen Google Earth guy. So when that's probably the first thing that I do, even before plugging into the Internet, you know, trip reports or guides or anything. So if I have an idea of a location that I'm thinking about, general location, I'm on Google Earth, and that's where I start for sure. Every road is there. You can see it. Now, the map book is the great way to go once you discover these roads, but that's where I start, is Google Earth.
Okay, interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to see the topography and so forth that way as
yep.
well.
Yep, yep, because you can see pools. If you're talking rivers, I mean, you can see the pools, you can see the runs, you know, you kind of know where you want to be.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I
know.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I was just agreeing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hugo also wrote in and asked another question. He says, best resources for finding out about access and private property restrictions. I know it can vary by state and country. I would like to fish sections of streams that are less pressured, if possible, but don't want to break any laws. Any suggestions for you go on that?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So, again, what you're looking for is you need to find a local expert, somebody that you can chat with, and we'll talk about, I think at a later part of the show, the area specialist that we have for DIY fishing. But that's the bottom line. You just need to find the guy that you can talk to and try to get some ideas of where you can go and where you can't go. In the tropics, I mean, I can answer this question easily, but in, let's say, some of the North American rivers and streams where access can be a problem, you know, I'm probably less knowledgeable about that and would talk to one of my own area specialists to get the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So down south in the tropics, it's generally kind of, as far as the ocean's concerned, there's no real private water. There might be fishing restrictions, right? For instance,
yep, yep, exactly.
Protect
yeah.
fish, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in the U.S. and I don't know about Canada, but U.S. is state by state difference, you know. High watermark,
yeah.
You know, navigable, you know, can't touch bottom.
I know. Well, Canada's more or less open, right? Yeah, you can't own the rivers here, so yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jerry's Houston, Texas. I want to take a fishing trip to the Pacific Coast, Costa Rica, but I'm not finding much info. I want to fish for roosters, mahi-mahi, et cetera, rather than sails and marlin. Any suggestions?
Yeah, great question, and right up my alley, and I love doing that fishing a lot. So, but I will say this about Jerry's question: there isn't a lot of information on it. If I can, I'll just slightly plug myself here for a little bit. We have an e-magazine that we publish, and the August feature story is on, I think it's a 62-pound rooster fish off the beach. So I just love doing that kind of thing, and we do have some people that are very knowledgeable about it, where to go and et cetera. So I can certainly direct Jerry there if he gets in touch with me, for sure, or goes on the website or gets the magazine. You'll see it all. You'll see it all there. It comes out tonight, actually. So, yeah. But it's really, yeah, it's difficult to find the information on that kind of fishing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I've interviewed, like, Mike Reeser down in the Baja about roosters and so forth. And, talked to some other people about roosters. And as I understand it, down in Costa Rica, there are roosters down there, but it's a whole different kind of fishing than it is in Baja, you know. So it's so that makes it – that even, you know, brings to mind that the local experts, you know. How do they fish for roosters in Costa Rica versus Baja? You know, you might go down there thinking one thing and get there, and it's not that way at all.
No, and that's very true. Costa Rica is almost exclusively fly fishing out of the boats, whereas you can catch these monster rooster fish off the beach on Baja, for sure.
So, okay, Tom Berry in Ohio. I'm planning my first bucket list fishing trip post-retirement. I would like to. And that bucket list is long for all of us, I know that. I'd like to go to New Zealand, but when I check the big name booking agents, their prices are more than I can justify for one trip. So how do you go about hooking up with reputable businesses and services? Anyone can make an impressive website. I've been burned on that before. So
Well, I guess the last part of his sentence, we can all agree with that. So we've all gone down that road. Great websites don't necessarily mean a great experience. New Zealand happens to be one of my favorite places, the South Island especially, so there are some wonderful places to stay there. It is the true mecca of DIY fishing, in my opinion, for trout. So there's some great rental places, great accommodation, food's fantastic, and the fishing's just out of this world. There are, depending on where you go, there are just some great independent guides there, and I'd be happy to hook Tom up with those guys. No problem at all. We're just DIY fishing is just expanding into New Zealand right now, as a matter of fact. But I know the area really well, and probably Tom should just email me, and I'll hook him up with a couple of the guides down there, and get him in a central location where he can fish. 5 to 7 rivers that are really close, and spring creeks are really close to sort of a central accommodation. So that's what I'd do.
Okay. We'll come back to that in just a minute. I want to kind of
pursue
that, but we need to take a quick break here, and we'll get right back to talking more about do-it-yourself fly fishing. Watermaster is dedicated to providing their customers with the highest quality inflatables on the market, as well as unbeatable customer service and product support. They are best known for their signature products, the Watermaster Grizzly and Kodiak rafts. These rafts are lightweight, compact, durable, versatile, and safe. The Watermaster rafts are everything your personal watercraft should be. They have been used by anglers and hunters all over the world for over 15 years, including Dave Whitlock, one of fly fishing's greatest innovators. Dave said, "With my Watermaster, I can enjoy more fishing per hour than any other method I have ever tried. After 2.5 years of testing 15 models of kickboats, I'm convinced that Watermaster is the ultimate personal flotation craft for warm and cold water fly fishing." Visit Watermaster today and take a look at the ultimate personal flotation craft. Go to www.bigskyinflatables.com. That's bigskyinflatables.com. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, and we're talking with Rod Hamilton about do-it-yourself fly fishing vacations. If you'd like to ask Rod a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Rod, I always ask, you know, my guests at this point in the show, you know, what's going on in your fly fishing world, and I know we're going to talk a lot about your do-it-yourself fly fishing website tonight, but what else is happening out there?
Well, for me, this time of year, so I'm in British Columbia, and we would be from mid-April to mid-October, salmon, trout, steelhead. And right now, as we speak, the pink salmon are now heading south to their home waters and coming and appearing off our beaches, where we fish with them for 6-weight flies and our 6-weight rods and small pink flies, and we're out there most evenings. So the fishing is just starting to get really good.
Did I see somewhere where you're writing another book too, as well?
I'm working on it slowly.
Okay.
It's more of a coffee table book I'm working on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just finished the fly fishing the Yucatan, right?
We did. Fly fishing the Yucatan, I've fished down there for the last 10 years, so I know the area well, and it was a great experience writing that book for sure.
Yeah. Well, ask a few questions about, because we are referring to it quite often, your do-it-yourself, DIYfishing.com. So is there a cost to use this site for our audience?
To be a subscriber, it's free, and it's really 7 years of fishing experiences and knowledge that a person can access, and just by logging on and signing up, and it's yours. And the app is free too, that goes with it. So yeah.
Okay. So mm-hmm. No, shouldn't hesitate to use that. And I know we'll be, you're referring it to it. And I just want everybody to feel comfortable that they can not feel like we're doing too big of an infomercial.
It's supposed to be the site for people around the world to get information on where to fish. That's what it's for.
So let's say you go to your website and it's an area that you don't have up there. How would you go about just back to the internet there, or in some cases to research it? I suppose you have to just go there, right?
Yeah, but that's really the question, isn't it, of how a traveling angler finds information on a place that he's interested in. So you start that searching process on the internet to try to find people that have been there, try to find trip reports, local guides, go onto the forums, that kind of thing, or search some of the magazines as well that have printed articles. It's fun, but it's a hunt and peck kind of a thing, isn't it? Trying to find the information on a place that you want to visit.
Yeah. It's if you haven't been to a place, like we just this past fall, Julie and I went down to Belize for 2 weeks, and it was kind of a reconnaissance trip, I fished for 3 days out of 2 weeks, but the rest of the part we were traveling the country just trying to get a lay of the land, where we could stay reasonably, where to eat and so forth. And now, to go back there, we have a much better idea about just that, where we could go, what we could do. And it's funny, we were talking to, we were having dinner one night in a little place in Placencia, and the guy was painting there right in the restaurant. We got to talking to him. We asked him what he did. He says, "Well, I paint, and I also guide, fly fishing."
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't know who you're going to meet, and, of course, you don't know how good they are, but that made me think that once you get to know the area, that you may be able to hook up with some guides directly rather than going through lodges and so forth to get.
Yeah. And that area is really good for that too. I mean, just to run out to Permit Alley and all that. There's some great independent guides down there. I go down there a lot, so Yeah, that's the way to do it. But see, now you're a classic example of going out and just doing it and exploring and finding it and finding more. And now you know a lot about the area. So those who have never been need to find somebody like you. That's the key to it, is talk to somebody who's been there. Yeah.
Yeah, and see what connections they might have.
Yeah, who should I call?
Who to talk to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Scott Nelson up in Portland, Oregon, he wanted to know, hi Rod, concerning international trip planning, how does the U.S. State Department's travel warnings and advisory come into play, especially in the backcountry?
Well, we do use this, and in fact, in the Fly Fishing Yucatan book, I have a section, that deals with that. So it depends on where you go, obviously. So we do use this as a reference point in case there's, and I'll just mention a few. There's some places in Mexico, some in Venezuela, and there's a few other places where we travel for saltwater that we always check. And there's, I should say, there's some other Central America ones too. I just got back from Honduras, in fact. And so you absolutely need to check it. My feeling about that is if it looks too scary, I just stay away. So that's as simple as I get. Yeah.
What about medical concerns? Is that something you post on your website at all, or do you leave that up to the individual to check?
It's a good point. I leave that up to the individual. There's some companies that we recommend, Global Rescue, and for instance, to evacuate you, so make sure you have that when you leave. But there's certain places that, you really don't want to be sick in. So if you have some conditions, or I'm 62, so I'm not exactly getting any older, any younger, but if you have some conditions or you feel like maybe that's not the place to go, I would just steer myself towards something that's a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah.
Well,
I know when we went to Belize, we went to our doctors, and I happen to go to Kaiser, but she's at another organization. But they all have, you just talk to your doctor, and they will advise you on, shots and so forth that they recommend for that area. And what we found in Belize is it kind of depended on where you were going. If you were going in southern Belize, you had to be thinking about malaria. If you were in fresh water and getting in the water, then you had to think about something else. And so it really it was kind of amazing. They kind of asked us a lot of questions about, where would we be and what would we be doing. If we would have just stayed in the salt water the whole time, we probably wouldn't have had to get any shots. But because we were going fresh water and into the jungle, that made a big difference. So
true.
So that's something that people can probably just check with their doctors on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got, when we're talking about visiting an area, like on your website, do you rate things as far as, what we found in some countries, you can get dinner for $8 or you can get dinner for, $80. So how do you approach that?
I'll take it in two. I'll kind of address that in two different ways. One is just myself personally and how we travel, and just like what you did down in Belize, you just go, you experience it, and you find the good and the bad, and et cetera. And all the books have, the books that I've written all have, they reference where to stay, where to eat, prices, that kind of thing, in each of the locations. So that works fine. On the website, we do exactly the same thing. So in every destination, there's some somebody speaking knowledgeably about where to go, where to eat, the pricing, that kind of thing. Yeah.
What are some of the things you put on your travel checklist? Maybe things that people don't normally think of to put on their travel checklist.
That's a good question. My travel checklist has been built over, been built in writing over 7 years. So it keeps getting on, keep getting added on there. So, but it depends on where you're going. But let's just talk about the tropics, which is something that I'm, you know, more familiar with. So we do things like making sure you have a roll of duct tape with you, super glue, and there's a bunch of things along those lines that we've discovered that you need, but you're not sure why you're going to need it. Now, the duct tape, why do you need it? Might be to hold your flats boots together. It might be your blisters, super glue for cuts. There's all kinds of things that that are added onto the travel list that I have, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything along the lines of fishing that...
It depends where you're going, doesn't it? So if I know where you're going, then I can tell you, you know, these are the leaders that you need, or this is the line that you need, and that particular water needs. We fish some places. We fish 18-foot leaders for bonefish now. You wouldn't know that unless you had talked to somebody who had been there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The. So if one is going towards, I guess what I'm trying to get, even though your website is a dynamite resource, a person may still not find everything they would need there. Are there ways to find, for instance, local guides or talk to, I imagine, a lot of these places, there's not like the local fly shop that we're used to in the U.S. and Canada on the corner, right?
Go
get the flies for the day and, and find out what's going on. And it might not be that easy, maybe in the Yucatan or Belize or wherever.
And it's not that easy. That is for sure. So how do you figure it out? To me, the number one thing to do is find somebody who has been there, somebody that you can talk to. So how do you find that person out? And the forums oftentimes have people I've been there three times, et cetera, email me and we'll talk. So that's a really good reference. I can think about places that I've done in sort of the Bahamas and Long Island, and I'm thinking about Turks and Caicos and Bonaire, places that we were having trouble finding information on fishing. And the guides themselves, most of them didn't have a website or answer the phone or return an email. So we would talk to some, we'd phone down and talk to some homeowners. You could find a homeowner that had a place listed, and you could talk to them. And if you were lucky enough to find somebody who fished, then you hit a home run. Lots of the homeowners would say, as for instance, I'll use Cat Island on in the Bahamas. Very few people there, two guides, no lodges, of course, nothing like that. And so we ended up talking before we went. I've been there many times now, but before we went, we called a couple of the homeowners that were renting their homes. And one of them happened to be a fisherman, and the other one happened to know a fisherman. And away we went from there. So, so that's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, yeah. And if you have, I suppose, if you're down there and you have some time to spare, just start talking to people like I experienced talking to the guy in the restaurant, Who knows where that's going to lead you,
Well, it'll lead you somewhere fun, that's for sure.
you don't know what you're getting, but sometimes you don't know what you're getting at some of the bigger lodges either, If they throw at you the newbie guide, then you get the newbie guide, and you're...
we've all had lots of those experiences, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where was that I just was reading? I don't know if it was in your book or your website. Something about asking the guide how long they'd been guiding, and he said long enough. Okay, well, maybe that was like since yesterday.
And we're about to find out, right?
We're about to find out. Let me take another quick break here.
Sure.
and then we'll come right back, talk some more about do-it-yourself fly fishing. Baja Fly Fishing Company is dedicated to fulfilling your vacation dreams. And just so there is no mistake, they derive as much pleasure helping a novice improve as they do fishing with a pro. From the casual to the hardcore, they can match your expectations with their experience and coaching. A vacation with Baja Fly Fishing is more than a fly fishing trip. It's a full-on Baja experience that you will remember forever. They know the Baja. After 40 years of traveling its back roads, kayaking its shoreline, surfing, and snorkeling, while pioneering the fly fishing techniques that have evolved into the tactics used today. They are well-versed in fly fishing the beach, in kayaks, on pangas, and are well-versed in all tackle types. Join them in pursuit of rooster fish, dorado, marlin, sailfish, wahoo, jack crevalle, yellowfin, skipjack, and many other species. Learn more about Baja Fly Fishing Company by visiting their website at bajaflyfish.com. That's bajaflyfish.com. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, and we're talking with Rod Hamilton about do-it-yourself fly fishing vacation. If you'd like to ask Rod a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay, Rod, one of the thing, too, is about fishing licenses in foreign countries. Do they have them? I mean, I know I've had some kind of strange experience about getting one or asking about one, so that's why.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you go, and that is for sure. None of them will be anything that U.S. or Canadian resident will be used to. It's typically different. Belize, for instance, is online. You can buy your fishing license online, so that works perfectly. Bahamas just instituted a licensing program, but getting one is really difficult. You have to go to the administration office of each of the island you're fishing on, and acquire it there. So it means they have to be there. It's during their hours. They have to have a license available there to give you. And I literally can give you hundreds of stories about that. Turks and Caicos, you buy it at one marina on the big island. So it depends on where you go. Mexico is on the Caribbean side, I have never been able to find a place to buy a license on the it's true. And I've been fishing
Sounds
it
familiar.
For Yeah, I've been fishing it for 12 years. Now down there, you only need you don't need a license if you're walking and waiting. You need one if you're in a boat. But I still haven't been able to actually buy one. What the guides do down in Punta Allen and around there in Ascension Bay is they actually provide you with the license, so they get it for you, and they also get the biosphere license. So it comes as part of your package.
Yeah.
Personally, I have never been able to find a place to buy the fishing license. The biosphere license you just buy when you enter the biosphere.
Yeah,
and all the other on the Pacific coast on Mexico, you can get licenses, and that's a little bit different because that's mostly boat, the big, sailfish, marlin, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
So they're available.
Yeah, I remember 1975. I spent 3 weeks in Baja on a VW Bug. Of course, my dad, always taught me, you got to get your fishing license, make sure you have your fishing license with you all times, So, I'm down there trying to speak Spanish and ask where I can get a fishing license. It was ridiculous. Nobody had any clue about what I was talking. License to fish? What do you mean? You just go fish.
Yeah. It
was funny, but I never find a place to buy a license back then.
Yeah. I was involved with the Bahamas legislation that just came out. We worked on that for probably 2.5 years. So they finally instituted the requirement to have a fishing license, but they didn't really figure out how a person gets one. So, I guess it'll get there.
What about, what have you found in traveling about carrying local currency or credit cards? Do you need both, or are you good just with credit cards? Or
yeah, we most of the places I go don't take credit cards at all. So it's just out. And what you need to know in advance is whether or not they'll accept U.S. dollars, because they don't accept currency from anybody else. So there's a very good chance they'll take U.S. dollars, and if not, you take U.S. dollars with you and convert down there, wherever that happens to be. The more popular places like Provo and Turks and Caicos, of course, that's a tourist place, so credit cards work great. But when you get to North Caicos and Middle Caicos, there are no credit card machines, so everything's cash. Which raises a bit of an issue, because some of these trips where you go, if you're gone for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it's a lot of cash. So
yeah,
you have to figure out how you, and you got a passport with you, so you got to figure out how you're going to carry cash in a passport and protect the money and protect yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And when you say there's no credit card machines, you're saying there's no ATMs either, right? That's what
there's no ATMs, there's
so
no credit card machines. It's just it's whatever you've got in your pocket is what's going to last you for the 2 or 3 weeks. Yep.
So that's one of the questions you need to ask.
It is.
What availability is there to ATMs? What do you, and I know you have this, like you have the spousal rating on your site.
Right.
So that's, that's to help people with families, like you said. The biggest group you had is family-oriented, you said earlier.
Yep, 70% of the subscribers.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do you plan for non-fishing activities for your family?
This is the interesting part, because you know how the email comes to me. It's, "Hi, Rod. I really want to go fishing for bonefish. Where can I go where it feels like it's a family vacation?" And my wife doesn't know I'm going there because I want to go fishing. So, yeah, literally, just every day, that's the opening sentence. So the point is, there's lots of those places and that are available that have the great beaches. Some of the accommodations have the pools and that kind of thing. And when we get away, there's lots of diving and snorkeling and some of the other activities that are more traditional, tourist holiday vacation activities. So, for me, we have a lot of that, or you just get on the website you just go get into Google. Once you find sort of where you want to go and Google what else is there to do, or what do you do while you're in Exuma, or things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know when we were in Belize, we were on a couple of islands that, if you were going to planning on going and spending a week with your spouse or family and didn't ask some questions ahead of time, you might be really disappointed, because some of these places are really just geared for fishing,
Yep.
And you can walk around the private island in about 10 minutes.
yeah. And now what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do?
So you certainly don't want to ruin your marriage by going to some place that can't accommodate the thing. In some place like Placencia in Belize, would be tons of things if people stayed in
Placencia.
There is.
Yep. Yeah. It's built for tourists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Ambergris Key, plenty of
built for tourists, I mean, in fact, if you go to Ambergris, your wife won't even know you're gone when you go fishing.
Yeah. And you'll come back and she'll be dancing and partying in some club, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But the first question that you'd ask me is what are some of the things you should ask yourself when planning a trip? And that is sort of at the heart of it. Is what's the trip all about? Is it a family trip? Is it a holiday? Is it a tropical vacation? Is it what is it? If it's just fishing, boy, that one's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hugo in Connecticut had another question. Thanks, Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
These questions you invited. How do you usually travel with your rods? Do you check them to the airline or take them as carry-on? Any problems taking rods as carry-on? Any other problems taking fly fishing gear internationally, like getting flies through customs or anything like that?
Yeah. Boy, great question. So out of the Canada, the U.S. are different for sure. So in Canada, we pack our rods and our reels in our bags and check them. U.S. generally carry them on. So so that seems to work fine.
Why? Before you go on, why?
Yep. Because of the rules. In the U.S., why do I carry it on?
Yeah, U.S. allows you to carry a rod
on. You're allowed to carry it on. Yep, yep. In Canada, they're tougher on your rods, for sure.
Okay.
So U.S., we don't have any problems. Rods, reels, we carry flies, carry our fly lines, et cetera. So no problems at all.
Okay.
Some Central American countries, you get weird things. I've had the craziest things happen to me. But generally speaking, we try to carry the essentials with us on the plane. I have an experience that I could tell you about in going to Eshkalak. My wife and I traveled from Vancouver, British Columbia to Cancun. I had all my gear packed in my underneath, and we got to Cancun, and her bag showed up, my bag did not. I had nothing. I had no fishing equipment, no anything. This is about 14 years ago, so I learned a valuable lesson there. So what I carry on now when I travel, rods and reels, if I can, flats boots, sun hat, buff, sun gloves. As long as I have that, I can fish. So you carry on the essentials to be able to do what you want to do.
You can always buy another shirt or shorts.
Clothes you don't care about, yeah.
Yeah, good tip. Mm-hmm. What about bringing any kind of inflatable boats? Kayaks, that kind of thing with you.
Yeah, I travel with them all the time.
Them
constantly. So I have an inflatable kayak that I travel with, an advanced element. There's a plug there. And an SUP. In fact, on a trip I'm going to tell you about here later, we're taking SUPs with us. So we almost always travel with them. We travel with our water masters. I know you have those, but we travel with our water masters when we're in sort of the continental U.S. or Canada. And so, yeah, we bring them.
So what were they? Run by those again. The first thing you said, you're bringing along advanced what?
I have an inflatable kayak, and its brand name is Advanced Element.
Element, okay.
Yep, and we have SUPs that we travel with, so I do that
all SUP?
The time. A stand-up paddleboard.
Okay.
Yeah, I almost always have one of those with me. And then when we're river
bring
fishing.
Bring that on the plane?
Yeah, we pack it. It's my extra $35 every time.
Take it like skis, kind of, huh?
It is. It's exactly what it is. Yep, it's my extra
bag.
That's
how they treat it, and they take those. I didn't even know you could take those on a plane.
Yeah, I pay, I check my first bag, and I pay usually $35 to $50 for my, whatever my inflatable is that I have with me. Yeah.
Okay. Which one Which one do you use the most out of all the places that you go?
Hard question to answer. Depends on where I am. If
okay,
I
let's
want
say
to
the
up,
Caribbean and the tropics. What do you
yeah, think? Again, it depends. If I
okay.
want it for if I want it for transportation, it's the kayak, because I get in it and it gets me to a flat that I want to get to. I throw out my rock and anchor it, and then I walk and wade. But the SUP, you can stand up and fish, so I can actually sight fish from the inflatable where you can't in the kayak.
Mm,
so.
Good point.
Yeah, depends where you are. If I knew where you're going, I could tell you what to take.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So everybody knows where Rod is, you know, DIYfishing.com.
Yeah.
For all these specific
questions. Just ask me. Yeah.
Okay, good. So question was, how do you find the best place to fish? Of course, you would say ask somebody locally, right? mean.
Yeah, it's but really that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's what we're all trying to do, is trying to find that place that other people don't fish and that has, you know, sort of some uniqueness to it. So you ask everyone that you can ask before you get there, and then once you get there, you really start questioning people. I will say this, though. I have found more places on my own with Google Earth than I probably have ever found with by asking somebody. I'm almost sure of that. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, yep, almost, here's a question almost that sure came that. In on the Internet that kind of relates to this. He says, Rob Mellers from Mexico City. He says, hi, Rod. Should imagine you know the area north of Mahal.
Yeah, Mahahual. Yeah.
Mahahual.
Yep.
Yucatan towards Espirito Santo. Looking at Google Earth, seems like the chances are reasonable to catch for catching bonefish straight off the beach in good areas. What about permit and tarpon in that region?
Great question. So as long as no one's listening to the answer, I will tell you. It's covered in the book, Fly Fish in the Yucatan, so it's in there for sure. But he knows the area, obviously, that the area north of Mahahual, Mexico, is probably one of my favorite areas in the world to fish. So there you go. Yep, and no one goes there. Mahahual turns out to be a nice. Used to be a little Mexican fishing village, but they put a cruise ship terminal there.
Oh boy.
So it changed the village, but no one ever fishes. So it didn't change the fishing one iota. It is. If he's listening, it's one of the greatest places to fish that I've ever been as a walk and wade. So you've got your rental car, and you have, I'm going to say about 40 miles of beach to fish. So it's good for bonefish. It's great for permit. There's some tarpon there. We're talking the beach side now. There's some tarpon there. Tons of great jack fishing, which for those of you who love to catch permit, these are the permit, but they like to eat.
But they
fight the same way. And,
yeah.
So great fishing for jacks. And wonderful barracuda. It literally is the most marvelous place to fish. Here's how crazy it is. You walk the beach with three fly rods in your hand because you don't know what you're going to see. Yeah. Literally, you have poppers, you have a streamer, you have a bonefish fly, and you're loaded with you got a crab pattern for a permit. So, yeah.
Wow. So he's spot on, huh?
He's spot on, yeah. Yeah, I fished it for 15 years now. It's one of my favorite spots.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Do you find that most of the places you go, a boat is necessary? Now, it sounds like the place you just talked about, it isn't. But the boat, a kayak, something, I suppose, gives you a lot more options, right?
Yeah. So, again, it depends on, and this is where Google Earth comes in. I will investigate where I want to go, and then I can see if there's deep water or if I can get there by, foot, bike, car. And I will say this, that I have opened up much, much larger areas of fishing for me by having my kayak. And I can see it on Google Earth, and I know it's a one-mile paddle, and I'll put in the kayak, blow it up, and put it in, and away I go. So,
yeah.
So that's why we bring them.
And that's a lot of measuring to be done, because again, I think of Placencia and Belize. You know, to get out to Permit Alley, you got a 40-minute powerboat ride. You know,
You're
not going to be kayaking anywhere close to that.
No.
But there are some places. Place I was at, Tarpon Key Lodge. Private island out there where you can go stay there and they'll feed you and so forth, of course, you know, for a fee. But you can they provide a kayak for you, so you don't have to
stand up kayak.
You can, yeah, yep. do-it-yourself kayaking right there, and you're right in Permit Alley. And so those are those kind of options as well.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, I was there a week. I was there for a week a few months ago, and fished for up to 90-pound tarpon off a stand-up kayak every day.
Oh, yeah.
So,
right around the corner, right?
Yeah. And we fished all of that area for permit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you generally hire a local guide, or do you actually do it yourself?
Yeah. Good question. Yeah. And it turns out that I'm no different than almost every other DIY style angler. So in a 7-day trip, let me put it this way. If I go with my fishing gang of 4 or 5 guys, we have a guide every day and we rotate through. And normally we'll fish 2 days with a guide and 5 days without a guide. That's how we do it. If I travel by myself or with my wife, we'll fish 2 days with a guide, 5 days without a guide. So I would say most places I go, we'll have an independent guide for, 25% of the time, 20% of the time. Yep, for sure.
Yeah, and I do that here in the States. For trout fishing.
Yeah, same with us. Yep.
Yeah, I'll hire a guide for the first day. Maybe he floats his boat, and the next day I'll be floating my boat, then I can kind of get a lay of the land, see what's working, go from there. So always.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what we do. We almost always, I have great relationships with guides all over the world, and there's lots of reasons for it. It's just nice to be in the boat with them. You learn a lot, and for those days, they do a lot of the work. So if you're walking for miles for 5 days, it's nice to be in somebody's boat for a day.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Hold on just a second. I want to look something up. The last time I have just lost the website. We might have people down. That's what I was afraid of. Okay, sorry.
No problem.
Sorry, Rod. It looks like we may have lost the website. But the last time I did a trip with a guide, it had been a while, it was really nice because he says, well, put your rods in the boat, and I got a couple more rods here for you guys to use. And my son was with me as well. And so that day, I tell you, I wasn't I had line in the water the whole day. If I broke off, if we were switching from nymphing to dry dropper, the other rod was rigged and ready, and I spent the whole day fishing. And that was really nice. Compared to, when you're on your own, you get broke off and got to re-rig and everything. So half an hour later, you're finally back in the water, So there's a lot of advantages to,
There is. Well, it's a nice experience, right? So I'm very much pro guide. I love to be with them. So
when you're in other countries, do you find that you can get local guides cheaper if you can book them directly? Independent guides, asking around.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. Let's think about places. I'll give you some examples. Turks and Caicos, probably the most expensive daily guide fee in the world. So call it $1,000 US for a guide.
You're kidding. Oh,
no.
My gosh.
Now I'm talking about, tips in there and lunches in there and all that. So because the base rate is going to be $850 to $9. I call it $1,000. And you can get, and I refer, I probably refer 100 people a year to guides in Turks and Caicos. So, but you can get a guy down there for about $350. But he's just, he's not a guide, he's a guy. He's a guy with a boat.
A guy with a boat.
Right?
Okay.
And so you can do that. There's some places in some other countries, actually, I don't think I'll name the countries, some other countries where you can get discount rates, but you sort of get what you pay for often. So they may not know anything about fishing, especially if you're a fly fisherman. So you know, you can do a little bit of that, I suppose. I mean, the days are kind of past. You know, when we used to do all this, it was you never booked a guide in the Bahamas. There was no internet. You would just go down there, and then you'd see a sign on the side of the road, and you'd call that person, and he was the guide. So all of that is gone. You just sort of ask around marinas and boat places and things like that. And you can find some, I guess, some less expensive ones.
And then, of course, you know, you may get what you pay for. You know,
often you do. Especially, I've got some great boat stories I can tell you. running 12 miles and now you're just stuck there.
Yeah, I can imagine that. You know, if guys are running their boats every day, they're pretty much tuned up and so forth. But that you ask at the local grocery store and says, "Oh yeah, I can take you out," and he goes and borrows his uncle's boat, which who knows how long, you know. And then the next thing you know, yeah, you're stuck out there, you know, trying to sail with your T-shirt or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
But and then of course there's places where you probably just must have a guide. There's just probably no way to fish an area in some cases without a guide.
For me, that's more of a boat and an access question.
Right.
So
right.
You need the boat, and oftentimes the only way to do that is with a guide. So that's sort of my answer to that.
Do you ever bring fly tying gear and materials down, or do you try to prepare that all in advance?
Yeah, I tie it all in advance. I've been tying since I was 12, so I've literally been tying 50 years. So I always tie in advance of a trip. I have what I think I want. But I do take vice with me, and my buddies usually bring some stuff with them. We were on a trip last year two years ago to Bonaire, and it was purported to have some bone fishing there, and again, one of those things, there's just literally no information on it. So we went for a month, and we found bonefish, but we couldn't get them to eat. And we kept tying and tying and tying, and we hooked up with a fisheries biologist that was there, and we found out what they were eating. And sure enough, we ended up usually getting 20 a day by the end of it, but we wouldn't have with the flies that we had with us. Yeah.
It was critical, yeah. Interesting. We have a bunch of questions here, and we're kind of getting short on time here. But I don't know if you know about these areas or if they're on your website or whatever, so you can just tell us.
Sure.
Bob Nevada in Nevada, do-it-yourself bonefish and permit in the Caribbean. Your best recommendations for that?
You know, it's one of those things where I prefer to talk to the person and then ask them a few questions, and I can sort of direct them. But let me give you some good examples. So Abaco is a great place for bonefish. The accommodation is great. There's grocery stores there. There's infrastructure, but it's a wonderful walk and wade area. Island. Long Island is a good one as well in the Bahamas. Acklands, for those who are just, this is one of those places you never take your spouse.
Okay.
So, but Acklands is fantastic bone fishing, some decent permit there as well. And that's all walk and wade. You can do that all on your own. Don't need a kayak, anything like that. And what else would I, Exuma. Is wonderful, great fishing in Exuma, And same thing, Walking Wade. And Bottle Creek on North Caicos, which is just sounds like it's small, but it's huge. If you look at it on Google Earth, it's literally my wife and I were on an SUP one day, and I think we went 13 kilometers in Bottle Creek. Beautiful, beautiful place to go for bonefish. So there's lots of great ones.
Walt in Pennsylvania, he wants to know, are there any opportunities for fly fishing in Nicaragua?
Good question. There's some. It's starting to come on. There's some good bone fishing there. There really is some good bone fishing, and what it's getting known for is its tarpon fishing. So, and these are big tarpon. This is the 120 to 160 pound class. So yeah, it is there for sure. It's hard to get information on it, and you know, even harder to get a qualified guide, a person to go with. But it's there for sure. Good quantities of bonefish. So I'll leave it at that for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Doug up in Calgary, Alberta, one territory away from you there.
One of my favorite places.
Do-it-yourself fly fishing on Christmas Island. Any suggestions for that?
Yeah, now I do have a couple of suggestions there. That one, that has come more and more, there's more and more opportunity for DIY there. So I actually have a contact there and a newer lodge. I call it a lodge, but you know, they provide accommodation and food, which is what you need on Christmas Island. And then they'll run you out to some of the flats. So it actually exists now. It did not exist before. The name escapes me for the moment, but if he emailed me, I'll send it to him. So there is a new lodge on Christmas Island that caters to a DIY style.
So what they'll do is take you out to a flats area and then just leave you and come back and get you later?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. And they're big, though. The flats are huge, right? So you are lots of bonefish. You're right there with the GTs, so you have that same experience for sure.
Yeah, just take a couple of different rods and prepare.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see here. Wilbur in Mendocino, California. I've been doing do-it-yourself trips for years. I generally use a local guide because their experience and access is invaluable. I find it to be much, much richer experience than staying in a lodge. I'm lucky in that I speak Spanish, so it makes the Caribbean much more accessible. Do you have any familiarity with the Golden Dorado fishery in Bolivia? It's been a tough one for me to crack.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, so he does exactly what I do, and it sounds like we're sort of have a common passion there. But no, I don't have. I've never fished for the Dorado, so I have no information on that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And Ari in Ventura, I suppose that's California. What's the most underrated do-it-yourself location in the U.S.? What about internationally?
Ew. Well, that's a good question, isn't it? You got me. So let me talk about, international, the tropics I can definitely talk about. Southern Yucatan, so that's Eshkalak and Mahahual in that area that we talked about. It's fantastic. So it's great, walking away DIY fishing. North Caicos is wonderful. Just spectacular flats and fishing. Where else would be sort of places that people haven't heard of and then the last would be the more the out islands, some of the smaller out islands of the Bahamas that just have zero tourism. Acklands is one that has a population of 500 people. Cat Island's great. Nobody goes there to fish, but fishing is really good. So there's some of the smaller Bahamian islands. Great Inagua. If a person has never experienced Great Inagua, it's the most southern Bahamian island. It's just spectacular. And there's nobody there. I mean, there's just nobody there.
Yeah.
No infrastructure, so, you know, all the problems that you have with that, food and groceries and all that stuff.
So,
Cuba was one of the ones that I thought was going to be fantastic. I know it's opening up, you know, more recently to the U.S., but Canadians have been going there for a long time, and it was just spectacularly good fishing. And now it's getting, I'm going to just, you know, I don't even know how to put this, but the areas are getting closed off that we used to be able to fish, taken over by the larger companies. So, yeah, so that's changing.
What do you mean closed off? What is that?
Well, I mean the areas used to be accessible. You just had a car and you just went, or you grabbed one of the guys and you gave him $5 and he took you. And there's still some places like that, but it's just not as prevalent as it used to be. We used to be able to travel around freely and fish, and there was just some great fishing. And now they're controlled by the large organizations. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you don't have access to the beach or to the...
You don't have as much access. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One final question, Tomas, from Georgia, Republic of Georgia, over in next to Russia there.
Yeah.
He says, what is the single most common mistake you see clients make, and what can one do to avoid it? So... what are common mistakes out there that people
do-it-yourself realm? Yeah, so, oh boy, so if we're talking about the tropics, so walk and wading, so which is what I do, so bone fishing, so it's probably moving too fast, and I wonder what some of the guides would say on some of the local, you know, the U.S. rivers and stuff, but... there, it's moving too quickly. Bonefish are just know you're there, so that's probably the biggest mistake I see.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about mistakes in just planning your trip?
lots of those. Expectations are important, so make sure that you know the expectations aren't too great. And do a lot of research before you get there in terms of where to fish and how you're going to spend your days and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
So we have on your website a contact us. Is that the best way for people to email you? Is use that form?
Sure. Yep. Or just rhamilton@diyfishing.com.
Okay. rhamilton@diyfishing.com. Okay.
Yes. Good. Yeah.
You have, one of the things that just came to mind from us talking is there a, do you have a Facebook page or group where it's, you know, community oriented, where people can trade information?
Yeah, we do. Well, we do a lot. Yeah, we do a lot of that. So my personal Facebook page, so Rod Hamilton is max, I'm at 5,000. So we do a lot there personally, and then the DIY Bone Fishing Facebook page, I think we have about 8,000 on there, and so we have lots. Yeah, a person could post, or my LinkedIn account, but DIY Bone Fishing, person can post questions there, and they'll get lots and lots of feedback for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. We're basically out of time now. But I want you to stick around with me, Rod. We're going to give away some prizes here, hopefully, if we can.
Yeah, let's do that.
We're still connected to people. And give away a one-year subscription to Fly Fishing Tying Journal and a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers. And then a copy of your book, Fly Fishing the Yucatan, courtesy of Lion Press. So give me just a second, and we'll get to those giveaways here in just a minute. Family Ties, that's T-Y-E-S, Family Ties is an organization which uses a shared interest in fly fishing and fly tying to enhance youth development and family relationships. They utilize resources in schools, communities, and businesses, and they invite your participation. Go to their website, www.familyties.com. That's family and then T-Y-E-S.com. Family Ties, where every fish is a trophy and every kid is a hero. And just a quick reminder to everyone, before you leave the website tonight, please take a minute and give us your feedback about the show. You'll find a link on homepage in the section under tonight's show that says, what do you think of the show? just click on that link and leave us your comments, and we'd really appreciate it. Well, now it's time to give away a few prizes here. Now, if you are the winners of one of these drawings, then we'll be contacting you after the show to get your information so that we can get the prize out to you. And I'm just trying to get set up here. Just give me a second here. Okay. And okay. So let me my database happening here if everything's going to work okay. And we'll try to get us some winners here. So
okay.
For the technical difficulties here. Hold on. For the one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers, let's see what we get here. Hang in there. Peter's giving me trouble here.
That's why I'm a fisherman, not a programmer.
Let's see here. This is really giving me fit. Okay. Sorry, folks. One more try here, and then I'm going to give up if I can't get this working. Okay, maybe now we're... Okay. Looks like we have Ray Bayer in Montana. Ray, you're the winner of a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers. and if you aren't a member, go to fedflyfishers.org and you can find out all about the organization. Great, great organization to be part of. So Ray Bayer in Montana, B-A-I-E-R. We've got you down here. We'll contact you by email after it and get you that connection to get your membership going. And then we've got a one-year subscription to Fly Fishing and Tying Journal. And let's see who we've got there. And that is, looks like, Stephen Bodenstab. Stephen Bodenstab. So, Stephen, congratulations. And jotting this stuff down, folks. I don't forget it. Okay, so Fly Fishing and Tying Journal, courtesy of Amato Books. Find out more about Amato Books at amatobooks.com. All kinds of books and periodicals that will help you with your fly fishing there. Okay, now let's see if we can, if we're still connected with folks out there. We will try to give away your book here, Rod.
Okay.
So, here's a question.
Yeah.
Rod, just, and don't answer this, Rod.
Oh.
Not a question for you. I had this happen
got
once
it.
Before. So, so for the audience out there, name one of the places that Rod just mentioned on some of his favorite places for do-it-yourself fishing in the tropics. Just name one of those places, and we'll get you copy of Rod's book. So let's see if I've still got people connected to me out there. I'm just refreshing the queue here, Rod.
Sure.
And let's see.
I do know the answer, by the way.
Yeah, I know. He just told me about 10 of them. come on, somebody's got to know. Looks like, I don't know if this is close enough, Rob T. in Miamisburg, Ohio, wrote in Yucatan. Should we accept that as a close
enough? That's close enough, yeah.
Okay. So Rob T., congratulations on that. We'll get you a copy of Rod's book sent out to you. Please send me your full name, your email address, and your mailing address so that we can get that book sent to you. You can put all that information in the same text box you just answered in, and we'll get that taken care of. Or you can send it to info@askaboutflyfishing.com, info@askaboutflyfishing.com. Either way, I'll get it, and then we can get that out to you. So thanks for playing, everybody. Sorry about the few delays there, but glad we're still connected out there to everybody, and hope you enjoyed the show. Rod, thanks so much for taking your time out and being with us. Always a pleasure to talk with folks about fly fishing and a little bit different subject matter for tonight, and it was fun to learn. So
thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. And folks, our next broadcast will be on August 16th, 7 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Eastern. On that show, I'm going to interview Alan McGee, and our topic for the show will be fly fishing soft tackles. Alan specializes in both traditional and progressive soft tackle flies and fly fishing methods, and he pushes the boundaries of these wet flies and knows how to get the most out of this often ignored fly fishing method. Join us and learn how to use the soft tackle method of fishing to catch more fish. I'd like to thank the International Federation of Fly Fishers, Amato Books, Whitbrae Key Fishing Lodge, Watermaster, Baja Fly Fishing Company for sponsoring our show tonight. Don't forget to visit our website at askaboutflyfishing.com and make sure you're signed up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Thanks for listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We hope you enjoyed the show. That's it. Good night, everyone, and good fishing.